Greetings, this is James Gillen. I'm your host. We've got another great show tonight. We've got some upcoming shows I wanted to talk about. First, we're going to have the People with Cannaway on, which is a hemp-based group. It's just amazing what they're doing. They're starting to bring forward a lot of the wonderful properties of hemp. And this is hemp this isn't marijuana. This is actually a different strain. It's hemp. It doesn't have the THC. It has the other properties of hemp. And all that information, if you want to find out more about that, you can go to UFOJames.com. That's UFOJames.com and check out that if you want to know ahead of time what we're going to be talking about. So it's an amazing new resource that's coming out, and I feel really good about this resource, and I'm part of the team as well. So I've always known about the wonderful properties of hemp, and we're finally starting to get this out, you know, in a medicinal quality, the one that gets you stoned. You know, it has other effects, so for health and longevity. But again, you know, we're not making any medical claims. We're not making any, you know, that's for your doctor to do. It's not our program here. But to go further, I wanted to talk about that Malaysian flight, the disappearing aircraft that everybody's been talking about. And there's a few things that I've been looking at that just aren't adding up. And so one of the things is they found that the plane was actually following these navigational beacons far beyond the time that it turned off its transponders and all the other things that would seem to mimic a crash or whatever. It was still following these navigational beacons, and it veered off course for 5 hours and 59 minutes after, you know, all the beacons went off and everything else went down after they lost communication. And so, you know, it had enough gas to get to Somalia, Africa, Iran, or any of the other you know, places in that area. And they could have some kind of a little base there on one of those islands. You know, we have all these little secret bases nobody knows about when they want to do some kind of clandestine operation. So one of the things they forgot about was the engines, the Rolls-Royce engines or whatever, send off a pinger. And it's a little Boeing addition that lets everybody know about the health of the engines. And so they, even though they turned everything else off, that little pinger was still going. So they actually could track the craft for a lot further, you know, further than supposedly they wanted it to be tracked, you might say. So, you know, we do have that capability. An AWAC or something flying over the area could actually just take over the plane. All these planes can be taken over. There's equipment in them that they can just be taken over and flown with automatic pilot to whatever destination. And so, you know, it's something we need to look at. You know, there could be two things here. One, the one thing that everybody's trying to lean towards, which isn't adding up, that it just crashed in the ocean and everything was lost. But, you know, the cell phones were still operating long after the supposed crash. And so I don't think they would be operating if the thing was at the bottom of the ocean. The other thing is it just seemed like to be a highly sophisticated operation, because all the cell phones and the computers seemed to be collected. You know, the plane was definitely taken over, and it continued on its course after the takeover. So everything is pointing to some very clandestine, you know, high-level operation, very sophisticated operation. Which brings us up to the next step is who was on that plane, and who did they want to snag off that plane? The other question we need to ask is how might they use that plane later on? I'm in the middle of just a incredible storm here, so that's why you hear all the noise in the background. You hear the plummeting rain coming down on the forest, and I'm actually looking out across the forest right now and broadcasting from Maui, the island of Maui in Hawaii. So it's a wonderful place, but I'm definitely in nature, and so you get to hear the wonderful sounds of the some of the birds calling out and some of the water hitting the trees in the jungle here. You know, a lot of people are asking, what's that noise in the background? That's nature. And we are going to have some, I guess, up to 60-mile-an-hour winds tomorrow coming in, another storm coming through. So You know, paradise is getting plummeted too with these climate change things that are going on. Now, I want to go further on. We just had on the lamestream news, we just had Cheney go forward on, you know, and start talking about an EMP attack and then exactly how it's going to happen and all these other things, and that we need to be very, very afraid of an EMP attack that's going to take down the grid, et cetera, et cetera. Well, and this is the same guy that issued a stand down on 911 and had all the jets stand down and allowed, you know, whatever, the planes to hit the towers and the towers to go down and all the other things. So, you know, I'm kind of wondering, you know, these guys always do, they warn about their plans ahead of time. So I'd have a heads up on that. You know, it's interesting that they're coming on the air and talking about something that would fit right into this scenario. So keep an eye on that. And, you know, again, when we look at how this went down, it was a very sophisticated operation. When you look at the chain of events that happened, it wasn't a crash. It wasn't just a, you know, some kind of a weapon, it looks like. It could be, you know, but it just looks like, you know, considering the fact that the plane did continue for 5 hours and 59 minutes after the supposed event, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, what's going on. But there's so many other things going on in the news right now. It's like we could go on forever. I wanted to talk about the large mothership that was filmed hovering over Crimea. You know, that footage, I actually had that footage. I sent it over on the list. They took it down, you know, within hours after I sent it out over the list, maybe even shorter. And we grabbed it again, put it out again, and it was taken down again. So somebody really does not want to see that ship, you know, hovering over the over there and where all the activity is going on there in Crimea. So anyway, there's a lot going on happening right now. People are trying to say it was a blimp, you know, and that it's some American-made high-tech hovercraft or whatever. But, you know, when you look at this thing, it looks like the classic cigar-shaped ship that's been filmed for years. You know, it's even in the written on the walls in the ancient pyramids. So anyway, doesn't seem to be something of that nature. It looks like something else. And, you know, if there was a blimp flying over Russia and it was one of our high-tech operations, I am sure Russia would take it down. You know, they wouldn't even, they would say, why are you hovering over our airspace? And it would be up there very short time. So I know blimps are not bulletproof, and whatever this other object is that they're trying to say it is it'd be very easy for them to take it down once they said it was not ours. As soon as they recognized it wasn't theirs, it'd be gone. You know, so anyway, so there, you know, there's all these, you know, cover stories going out, and it's just amazing watching this when these things happen. I want to talk a little about the banksters that continue committing suicide. One of them took a nail gun and shot himself in the back of the head 8 times. Now, I don't know how you can shoot yourself in the head 8 times with a nail gun. And you know, it just makes no sense at all. It's like these other guys that shoot themselves in the head 3 or 4 times, you know, and commit suicide. You know, you look at these things and what happens in these events and you're going, wait a second. You know, we found out, you know, I don't know how many, it's probably in the hundreds of biophysicists now that have been murdered, you know, that were aware of what was in the chemtrails and the different diseases that were created and Morgellons and all the influenzas and everything else that are in these chemtrails that they're starting to find attached to these polymers. So anyway, I would stay away from the fake snow and I wouldn't be burning it and inhaling it because you might have something else attached to that. You know, that's an ongoing event too. They're finding all this fake snow that actually isn't snow at all. It doesn't even act like snow. It doesn't melt. It doesn't, you know, act anything like snow. So I guess another one, that one of them jumped from a skyscraper and another one jumped in front of a train, a speeding train. So anyway, a lot of the bankers are going down. It looks like a lot of these people might have been whistleblowers who know too much and, They know about the incredible corruption and the theft and everything else that's been going on within the banksters, and so they either can't live with what they've done, you know, or they are being taken out because they know too much, one or the other. But anyway, you know, you play in that game, you play in that field, you know, it has consequences. So it might be a good idea to start working on something that's a little more harmonious, you know, with humanity and the Earth. The global reset, there's a lot of information about that coming up, that there's, it's right around the corner, supposedly. They keep talking about this, and they keep talking about how they have the cabal totally cornered, and they're pretty much gone. I know they've done a lot of work with the regenerative ETs. A lot of that's being cleaned up, and the fallen Anunnaki and some of the other things. A lot of that's being cleaned up. Even the benevolent Anunnaki are stepping in and taking care of their own and calling them for the councils and cleaning up that end of it. The reptilian and grays are being pretty much driven out and told they're done here. They can no longer interfere with the evolution of Earth. That's at least 70%, maybe more now, complete. And so a lot of that's been completed. So the Archon Network is being cleaned up and being taken out. And what would be left is the elite, the global elite, or the Illuminati, whatever name you want to give them, the ones that have been the puppets for these darker forces are being are what's basically left in the last part of the cleanup. So when we start seeing these guys start disappearing and things like that happening, we know that we're well on our way to, you know, liberation and freedom. My question is, as everybody would ask, is if these Illuminati are all corralled and we've got them on the run and there's nothing they can do, you know, why is Dick Cheney going on mainstream TV and giving up their plans again? You know, so, you know, apparently they're still running. I mean, I'm hoping a lot of this stuff is true, but, you know, the old saying, praise Allah, tie your camel. I'm hoping that everything has a nice transition and it's a smooth transition and we move into the I don't even want to call it the new age, the age of light, whatever age you want to call it, that we get through this hump and get past critical mass and get into the next level. And we can do that quickly and in a peaceful manner. Who knows? One other thing in the news I want to talk about is scientists just released a study that auto emissions shut down the right ventricle in the heart. Go figure, you know. So all of a sudden they're saying, hey, you know, all these auto emissions are shutting down your heart and causing heart disease. Well, I mean, thanks, but it's about 80 years too late on that one. And why are they releasing all that information now? Also, chemtrails, the heavy metals, and the radiation in the chemtrails, and Fukushima, all of these things shut down the heart. So why are they trying to all of a sudden blame this on the auto emissions? Is that another diversion, you know, so we don't really look at the other causes and the other, and, you know, the hold people accountable and responsible for the other causes that are having the same thing. But there's so many things going on right now. I wanted to cover all of these and just give you some input on these, you know, what's happening in the news. And the main thing is that, you know, these things are going to play out. Don't get caught up in it. There's a lot of fear tactics and a lot of nonsense going on. And, you know, it's really careful. It's time to be real careful about how much we're going to get caught up in this stuff, how much we want to involve ourselves in these things. And there's some things we do need to get involved with that I think are very important, especially when it comes to preserving nature and cleaning up the planet and taking care of business with those who are totally destroying and polluting the planet and actually, you know, declaring war on not just nature, but, you know, the human species as well. And which ties us into the next event, and that's the GMOs. And there's quite a movement going on with the GMOs here. And I'm hoping we can get Mark Sheahan on the line here, and he's been kind of forefronting this movement to put a moratorium on the GMOs here on Maui. And, you know, we drive by every other day. We drive by, you know, Monsanto. Some people call them Monsanto. And their whole place is just covered with massive trees and vines. You can't see what's going on. And it's had quite a few demonstrations to try to kind of stop what's going on. And over there on Molokai and these other places, that they're having very, very serious consequences with all the sprays they're doing and the multiple sprays they're doing and the compounds and how they each one has a detrimental effect and that's amplified by the next one and the next one. And And now they're shutting down schools. People are just getting sick. There's cancers all over the island. You know, it's major trouble in paradise with this group. And, you know, it's just amazing that they come to a place, you know, of this pristine and everything. You know, it was bad enough with all the toxins coming from the sugar cane. And now the head of the beast shows up here to continue in its legacy to, you know, create foods that are definitely detrimental to health, you know, when the real information comes out. I don't know if we've got Mark on the line yet. Hopefully we can give him a call. We're working with the studio. They're trying to get him on the line right now. But they had an amazing event here. They rented a huge theater and brought in all these wonderful speakers to talk about GMOs, and the event was so well received that the whole theater was full, and outside the theater, and they brought in a widescreen TV just to accommodate all the people that came there. So it was quite an incredible response, and it, you know, warmed my heart to see that many people getting involved in it, and that many people getting educated about the damages that these GMOs are doing, you know, to our environment, you know, just with all the pesticides you're using, and then these strange little creatures that are starting to crop up, you know, inside these GMOs. But I think we've got Mark with us. Mark, are you with us?
Hi, James.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Good, and aloha to all your listeners.
Yeah, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I know we've met under several circumstances. We have a lot of shared interests, but one of the main ones that that you're working with is the Shaka movement, and it looks like quite a few people are involved with that movement. You know that you're all working together, and I know I'm sure the movie Thrive is going to that website is going to be pushing this with Foster Gamble and Kimberly. And quite a few others. I don't know where you want to start out with this, but it seems like you've been kind of spearheading this movement to get the moratorium on the GMOs here in Maui.
Yeah, I was actually one of five citizens who submitted a petition to the county. There's a process here called an initiative where you can actually put a bill directly on the ballot, so you're not just suggesting it to the nine council members here who we don't really feel are strong enough and aware enough of the issues to really deal with it. So where we stand right now is we probably have 5,000 to 6,000 signatures. We need 8,500. At that point, it goes to the registrar of the county to review and approve the signatures or disapprove of them, but we'll keep gathering signatures. Pretty confident we'll be able to get over 10,000 people. We would probably need, so we go on the ballot come November, and we at that point we'd probably need something in the neighborhood of 22,000 people to approve of it. We've clearly gotten Monsanto's attention, and it's an issue across the state. Kauai, the island of Kauai, approved a measure to create buffer zones around schools and residential areas and parks, and to require the five companies working over there to disclose what it is they're planning and when it is they're spraying these chemicals. They already have responded by hiring attorneys to take the Kauai County to court. But if people want to read what more information about what's going on in Kauai, there's a great site called StopPoisoningParadise.org. The Big Island issued a ban. They only have GMO papayas over there. That hasn't been a very successful solution to their problem. But they don't want any more GMOs. Here on Maui, we're on Molokai, which includes Molokai, the island of Molokai, where they have probably 1,500 acres. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty heavy impact on the 6,000 people who live over there because the drift goes right down into the famous fish ponds that are below the fields where they're planting. Here on Maui, we have probably 700 acres, and what our bill calls for is a moratorium. We don't feel like we have to wait and prove cause and effect that people are being poisoned by this. we think there's ample evidence that massive use of pesticides, particularly in very dangerous, untested combinations, and there are literally thousands of different combinations because they're using as many as 20 different pesticides in unknown combinations. So those combinations have never been tested. And then finally, they're releasing living life forms into the environment, which should be conducted in a controlled, closed laboratory, is being done out in the open air. And people are beginning to complain about all the effects from what is being done. But so immediately, people are responding to the intensive application of the pesticides because they have to sterilize the fields. But in the long run, we think the precautionary principle that is used in Europe should be used here. Frankly, the EPA is just the tool of the industry here, whether it's the chemical industry or the pesticide industry or the GMOs, and the public is not adequately safeguarded. So in Europe, they invoke the precautionary principle, which, if there's any doubt, they restrict the use. So we're using, for example, atrazine is made by the Swiss company Syngenta and used extensively, not just here on the GMOs, but in the sugar fields. But it's banned in Europe. Can't use it in Switzerland, where the company's headquarters is. So we're worried about that, but ultimately we're worried about releasing life forms where we have no idea what could happen in years ahead. So we don't really want to risk the future of our children and grandchildren to the profit motives of the executives of corporations that have shown they have no conscience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they're making this frankenfish, and they also were working with some bees, some genetically altered bees, probably so they would not be killed off by the pesticides, the nicotinic acid and all the other things they're doing. They've got some other things going on. I know they have some other small life forms, bacteria and things like that, that are showing up in the corn, as well as these prions and all these other things, which I know studies are showing that anything that eats, especially like the GMO corn or some of these other things that they're putting out there, the rats are just full of tumors. They're sterile. They're dying off.
Well, the public needs to know that there's something that we refer to as FUD, which is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So this is a process that was pioneered by the tobacco industry, where they actually issued a memo 50 years ago saying, we're in the business of doubt, creating doubt in people's minds. So they frequently refer to sound science, where Monsanto says, we just ask people to, use sound science in their evaluation of these risks and so on. Well, what is sound science? It's just a term that they made up. So they want to create doubt, and they have their own studies, like the rat studies you refer to. They do their own studies, and they have so much influence in agricultural departments across the country. And their studies have been for 3 months, testing their pesticides on the rats, and like Roundup. And it turns out, Professor Seralini's study, which was done in France, the tumors don't show up for 4 months. And if people just do a search for Professor Seralini, it'll show up right away what happens in those studies. So they attempt to discredit professors like that who release information, just like the guy at the University of Edinburgh who showed that the rats fed GMO potatoes had all kinds of diseases. Well, he got fired. But they don't have that kind of control outside this country. So now there's more research coming in from Russia, China, Europe, and South America that has really begun to show just how much contamination is going on. In fact, this week there was a study that came in from news about Sri Lanka, where Roundup is used extensively in the fields, but they have a lot of hard water. And so the glyphosate, which is a chelate, in other words, it's something that binds heavy metals, when you have a lot of cadmium and arsenic in the water, hard water, it's something that the kidneys can't process, and so they've had 20,000 farmers die of what they call chronic kidney disease. And so that also is showing up in Central America, and now communities in the United States are beginning to, having seen this study, begin to realize, oh, that's the connection. So each community has to really defend itself, but this is beginning to, communities are, I was contacted about somebody, you know, and I think that we're beginning to have global link-ups of people who are fighting this thing and sharing the information cross-platform so that people, and if people want to know about what's going on in Maui, there's a great site called shakamovement.org, and there they can see Professor Huber, who's the man who disclosed this information about this non-organic, self-replicating organism that's been found in the corn. And then there's Vandana Shiva and other world authorities, and they can see more specifically how people are rising up and speaking up and taking action here on Maui.
Well, it seems like, you know, all the other countries, it seems like India especially, they're the prime minister. Everybody's gotten majorly involved in this, and, you know, they're seeing the death, the farmers committing suicide because they've destroyed their farms by using these GMOs. Their cows are dying and going sterile, and all these, I can't remember how many farmers a day were committing suicide over there.
One every half hour.
It was one every half hour or something insane. Yeah. But, you know, you look at the death rate, and for these guys to continue, it's just beyond me when you have a rate like that and the damage is done. Even the possibility of being responsible for that would be enough for these companies to kind of reevaluate what they're doing and taking a good hard look at the products they're putting out. But they seem to just go
Monsanto's
forward.
Monsanto's responsible to the suicides over there was, well, they were committing suicide anyhow.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
You know, it's not a laughing matter, but it's really absurd how they responded. You know, there's that famous quote from Upton Sinclair that says, you know, you can't rely on it's hard to make a man understand something when his income depends on his not understanding it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've seen that so many times, is that people will validate, you know, incredible atrocities to humanity and nature, you know, by just saying, hey, I just need to make a living. You know, this is taking care of my family, this is putting food on the table, but they seem
to communities are rising up across the country. I've been in touch with people from Oregon, because Jackson County, Oregon, tried to ban GMOs in the county, and the state tried to preempt them, or may have at this point. The same thing is going on here in Hawaii, that the biotechs have gone to the state legislature and submitted bills, trying to pass bills to preempt the counties from protecting themselves, but it's in the state constitution that the counties are responsible for the health and safety of their citizens. So you can't expect at the national level we'll get any protection, but more and more communities across the country are organizing themselves to protect themselves, and I think there's a lot of progress being made at this point on that front. You mentioned the GMO salmon. I just read an article this week that they're beginning to have second thoughts about the GMO salmon, because a lot of the big store chains, national chains, Kroger's and some of the other big chains, have indicated that there's no interest in the public buying it. So I think the people who are pushing these things, that the GMO salmon, are beginning to realize, oh, my God, we're going to all this trouble, and there won't be any market.
I think that's what needs to happen.
That's the other thing that people are doing. People are voting with their dollars, and every time they go to the market instead of the supermarket and buy organic from local suppliers, they're voting with their dollars, and they're withdrawing their support from a system that, and even we see that Pepsi, Coke, Kraft Foods, some of the big food manufacturers have responded to the market in Europe by taking GMOs out of the products. And even here we've had, I saw a couple of weeks ago, Cheerios is now making a non-GMO version. So people, they're beginning to look at what's happening here and realizing that people don't want this crap.
I know even on Frito bags, you'll see that on just the basic Fritos, you know, it'll say non-GMO or things like that. So I've seen that before, that they're not, a lot of the major companies are realizing that people are just backing away from eating their product if it does have any of the GMO in it.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to get the biotech industry to admit it, but I think there are signs out there that they're beginning to realize this game is not working for them. There was an article in Wired magazine this past month about how Monsanto was developing a line of products where they would still continue to control the seeds, but they are producing, like high antioxidant broccoli and certain lettuces and peppers and something called a melon orange that's crisp like a melon and juicy like an orange, in the hopes of developing a non-GMO products that they can cultivate the farmers' production of and then brand it in the market. So they're exploring other options as well.
So now there's some people that want to
argue. I think what's going on is working.
On this slide. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, there's some people I've heard the argument. I got actually, it was funny, I was in the Mana Foods the other day, and this woman kind of confronted me. She goes, "Aren't you that guy that argued in favor of GMOs?" And I guess there was somebody, I guess it looks similar to me, that argued, I guess he's been arguing on the side of GMOs. And I said, no way. I said, I'm on the opposite side of the coin. You know, I've been very instrumental in getting the information out through the radio shows and the newsletters and things like that, that we got to stop this nonsense. But it's interesting. But, on his behalf, I didn't hear his argument. But, some people say, the corn that we do have would be a small little tiny thing, like some of the, a lot of things have been altered over the years, genetically altered, and that's why they're the size they are, and it is beneficial. But I think we're talking about a whole different animal when we start talking about what they're doing with adding all these different chemicals and making them herbicide resistant, pest resistant. They're putting the pesticides right into the corn. It's just a whole different animal.
There was a study that came out about a year ago that compared the nutritional value of organic and genetically modified corn, and in some instances there was 1,000 times more nutritional value in the organic. So what you have is big, beautiful looking ears of corn with no nutritional value. Vandana Shiva, the famous Indian physicist, says we're mistaken by talking about yield per acre. We should be talking about nutritional value per acre. So people have to really look at the nutritional value, and no matter how pretty it is or how well it stores, we're making tomatoes that store very well, but you taste them and there's no taste because there's no minerals in it. And the reason why there is no minerals is the glyphosate, the key ingredient in Roundup, is blocks the minerals. That's how it starves the weeds. It blocks the minerals from the weeds from drawing the minerals out of the soil. So often you'll taste things that look really beautiful, the genetically modified stuff, but there's no nutrition in it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We, in our gardens at the ranch there, we have extensive gardens, and one of the things we do is we remineralize the soil and make sure there's a lot of minerals in there, and we always use organic seed and try to get try to stay away as much as possible of anything GMO. But every once in a while they sneak it in there, because we'll look at, we used to buy from Territorial Seeds, and then we find out some of the seeds aren't really what they used to be, that they're buying up all these seed companies, and all of a sudden they're changing or it's just a lot of things going on.
The top three companies, Monsanto, Syngenta, and Dow, own 50% of the seed companies. So, but again, in response to that, the organic movement is not stupid. Seed banks are popping up all over. We're starting a seed bank here at our farm here in Haiku at Maui on the North Shore. But there are other people, and once a week or twice a week, people say, you know, we got to be saving more seeds. I gave a talk the day before yesterday at a Rotary Club, and I said, any questions? And someone said, shouldn't we be saving seeds? I said, yes. So the counter movement is alive and well and making, I think, terrific progress. But it's a nonstop educational campaign. I want to thank you for the work that you do and spreading the word. People need to know the information. I also want to mention a report that came out this week about a guy named Nassim Taleb, who is a risk management professor at New York University. He wrote a famous book called The Black Swan, about how the economic collapse was sort of the perfect storm that occurs, and that's what the black swan is. Mm-hmm. His latest book is called Anti-Fragility, and he's become an outspoken critic against GMOs. And it's based on the fact that there's a small element of risk that one of these organisms, not each and every one, but one of them could lead to a catastrophic disaster. And that the people, he said, I don't want to really risk my grandchildren's future because some executives are making a lot of money taking these big gambles. So again, we get back. He gets back to the precautionary principle. When we have any doubt, we have to take extreme precaution. Instead, because so much of the EPA and the agriculture in this country is controlled by the industries that they should regulate, we are not taking that principle. We're taking the risky approach to things. Let's use it and see if anything happens.
Yeah, they're kind of throwing caution to the wind. I've seen over and over, studies and pictures of what it has done to the rats, and I've seen where they take organic corn and put it out, in the forest, and they have a GMO corn right alongside each other, and nothing eats the GMO corn, and the other organic corn is just totally gone. You know, the squirrels and birds and everything just clean it right up, and they hardly even touch the GMO corn. So they seem to have some.
Makes you wonder if rats are smarter than we are.
Yeah, they seem to know. I don't know how they sense it. They must sense something there or smell it, or maybe they smell the chemicals in the corn or whatever. But they definitely don't. They don't want to eat it, and if they're forced to eat it, not given anything else, they will eat it, and then they come down with all these, tumors throughout their body. They're sterile. They have just ridden with disease, and that's just, if that's happening to them in, 4 months, what's it doing to humans, that have been consuming them for the past few years?
Well, Professor Huber said that these self-replicating forms that have no RNA or DNA can't be killed by heat. So, you think, well, if it winds up in the animals and it's creating birth defects and miscarriages in the animals, and it shows up in us when people eat the animals, you go, wow, cooking isn't killing it.
Uh-huh.
So what's happening inside of us? And I just think that more and more people are connecting the dots. Something like autism, when I was born, 1 in 100,000 people would get autism. Now they say that 1 in 54 children born will be in the autistic spectrum. And you I could go across neurological disorders. I just read a long paper an hour ago about California and the use of extensive pesticides in California and what's happening in because of someone studying it from the University of California, Berkeley, they're beginning to get more and more information about the neurological problems that result from people who are exposed to massive use of pesticides. That's exactly what's going on in the biotech industry, and especially here in Hawaii, where they grow seed corn. So they will use on the island of Kauai, where we have specific data that was disclosed as a result of a lawsuit, they used the pesticides 250 times a day, more than 250 days a year, and as many as a dozen times a day, and they used 22 different chemicals in 90 different combinations. Holy good Lord. there's no way of figuring out what that might mean. But we know that the people in the town nearby, where the drift blows into this town of Waimea, are having a wide range of health problems, especially with children who are more susceptible because they breathe more air, their heart rates are faster, they're drinking more water, and their bodies are growing faster, and they're having a wide range of problems. And that's why there was have been these big marches across Hawaii. Thousands of people, 4,000 people marched on Kauai. We've had big marches here on Maui. But we can't just march. We decided we've got to take political action here and pass legislation to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what, I mean, that's got to be, got to have a toll on the people there and that are working for Monsanto. You'd think they would just say, you know what, I got to give this up. This is destroying my family, my island, you know, my people. But they continue to just turn a blind eye to this. I'm wondering if there are people on the inside that are finally waking up and deciding that they just can't participate, you know, with this anymore.
I took a tour of the Monsanto fields here a couple of years ago. What I noticed is when I went into the cafeteria, many of the signs were either in Tagalog or Ilocano, two of the Filipino languages. And it made me realize that many of the people working in those fields are contract workers from the Philippines who are sending money home to their family and so on. They're not people who are really in a position to walk away from their job or to, you know, to seriously challenge the kind of work that they're doing. And I think the same thing is true in this article that I read about the workers in the Salinas Valley in California. Many of them are from Mexico. They're just scraping by, low-income people. And even if they really understood all the issues involved, they're not in a really good position to kind of rise up and challenge it. So, but we are concerned with, because I think those are the families most impacted, the field workers and their families.
I agree. It's a matter of, it seems like one of the major things we need to do is education, and it has to be multicultural, you know, with, I know Mexico, there's a lot of movement to throw out the corn there. They, you know, have a long history of many different types of corn and maize, and it's part of their culture. And they're pretty upset about what's been happening with the GMOs and things. So I know there's been a big movement there to ban them and toss them out of Mexico.
Well, they found
Mexico.
Chemical contamination of organic seeds 1,000 miles from the GMO corn. So we know that the drift can go a long way. And right now, Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack here in the States is promoting coexistence. No, there can be no coexistence with GMOs because the organics will not contaminate the GMOs. But the drift from the GMOs will surely contaminate the organic crops, and we see that happening. And this is costing organic farmers billions of dollars. So this is a serious issue. You know, it's not a, you know, let's all get along together matter. It's a matter of showing that the contamination is happening and causing and stopping the contamination.
Well, it seems like these guys will do whatever they're paid to do, and they'll say whatever they say. And they've got a huge network and people that are paid to sugarcoat these things and, you know, spin it and change the information. But I think
you were at the launch 3 weeks ago. We had 500 people show up there, and 320 of them took packets. I just offered to take the top petition gatherers, signature gatherers to breakfast next week at a restaurant here on the North Shore for a brunch, and the top signature gatherer had got 269 signatures, and there were a number of them who already have over 100. So people are eager. I haven't had a single person I asked who was a registered voter turn me down.
And how, you know, if
so
people
they may have the money, But we have the people on our side, and as people get educated about this, they realize, well, this is far more dangerous than we thought.
Definitely. Getting the signatures on that is, what is the best way if people want to get involved in this and assist? Now I know there's a bunch of rules and regulations.
Particular ballot initiative, you need to be a registered voter in Maui County. But if people want to support the movement, there's a donate button on the Shaka Movement website, shakamovement.org. And if they just want more information, that's a pretty good place to start. That tells the story of the extent of the pollution. There's some videos there that give you some idea of just how horrendous the contamination is on the island of Molokai. And just how we've gone about what we're doing. We know that Monsanto's paying close attention, and we're completely transparent. We're just saying there's something in the Hawaii State Constitution, the public trust doctrine, it's called, and it says that the environment is something that needs to be preserved and in perpetuity for the future generations. And you can't keep contaminating the soil and reaping off the profits in the present and leaving the pollution for the future. That's what we're doing right now. That's not working.
No.
And that's kind of a no-brainer for most people. They begin to say, too many chemicals, too many unknowns, too many people getting sick with cancer or obesity or diabetes or learning disorders or behavioral disorders and so on. You start looking at these clusters of behaviors and you're going, something is seriously wrong and we're not going to take it. And when you get those moms kind of organized, which is what's happening. In fact, there's a group on Molokai called Molokai Moms on a Mission. They're not going to put up with it.
I know. I've seen some of the women here, and boy, they're in their power, and they're stepping up to the plate, and they're just calling it out and saying it like it is. And I think that's really important to really support that, empower that divine feminine, and take care of the Mother Earth and start looking at things a little differently than we have been.
Well, it's really up to us. It would be nice if our leaders showed more concern. We do have a council member here, Ellie Cochran is her name, who introduced a labeling bill, and the old boys network on the council and really tried to kind of stuff it into a corner and forget about it. So it's our job to come out and support council people like that. At the local level, Kauai, they had a great guy over there. Gary Hoosier is his name. He used to be in the state legislature, and he was extremely helpful in crafting a bill there. We've got some really good people at the state legislature here in Hawaii who have been supporting us. I won't bother getting into their names, but they're all in a minority. And when these bills come up, we need to be prepared to support them. And so I spend a certain amount of time every week writing supporting the bills that are will protect us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a must right now. This is going to go a little bit off subject, but it doesn't seem to be. But I know that there's a major movement to try to ban the chemtrails and some of the other things. And when you tie this all together, you look at the extreme aluminum in these chemtrails, the barium, and all the other heavy metals that are coming down, strontium, as well as some other weird biologicals they seem to be finding in these chemtrails. But all of a sudden, you see Monsanto coming out with aluminum-resistant seeds and trees and things of that nature. And we're looking at the extreme devastation that's happening to the jungles and the forests. I see it in our area, especially with the fires, the forest fires, with all this aluminum, in the system, that the fires are hotter, they're burning out of control, they can't contain them, and the trees are dying. And you can see just on my ranch in Washington, Eastern Washington alone, we're watching a major die-off of the trees. I have 70 acres there, and quite a few trees have have died and gone down. You know, it's good for firewood, but bad for the forest. But the it's getting pretty crazy right now as far as the damage being done with the chemtrails. And when we find out who's financing the chemtrails and then who's a major stockholder in Monsanto and everything else, it all turns out to be the same people.
You do wonder, though, what air do they think their children or grandchildren are going to be breathing?
Yeah. Yeah, what land are they going to be,
I mean, you tend to think, well, maybe they just want to kill off the useless eaters, but, you know, we all have to breathe the air. Maybe they got some private supply of oxygen that we don't know about, but, you know. You know, it does make you kind of lead you to kind of conspiracy theories when you look at the level of insanity.
Maybe
it's just a kind of organized stupidity. I don't know, but it's really important for people to pick their fight, especially I think at the local level, and fight back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see more and more people doing it.
I can definitely go off on a tangent there because it doesn't make any sense unless you see the big picture, and when you realize that these Illuminati boys are actually being governed by even a higher, more demonic, satanic force who cares nothing for nature or creation or God's creation or humanity, then it makes sense. Otherwise, it makes no sense at all why anybody would do this, knowing that they would be subject to, and their children would be subject to the same.
I know that you've been reporting that many of these people are being taken off Anunnaki or Illuminati are being taken off planet and so on. And I'd like to think that there's a galactic conspiracy on our side that is improving our chances of surviving.
Yeah, I'm really for that. It's gotten so out of control. I think we need some extra help on high. But doesn't mean we can just sit back and wait. We got to do our footwork here. On the ground and.
I'm so inspired by what I see, especially the younger people who are, walking away from the brainwashing. You know, they've turned off the public media. They realize that the corporate media is just endlessly an echo chamber for the same lies and corporate propaganda. And they're thinking for themselves. They're looking more closely at the world around them and realizing, hey, something's definitely out of control here. And they're standing up, speaking up, showing up, and acting up. And I think that's what's really is the good news from my perspective.
Yeah, there is definitely a movement I've seen. And I noticed with a lot of the younger people I've noticed is that they're eating very close to the ground. They're eating very natural. And they've turned off their TVs. They're not watching TVs, and they're simplifying, living a very simple life. And when things do come down or hit the fan or whatever, they're probably going to do pretty well.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of we have a 14-acre organic farm here, and we have interns working on the farm, and they are all eating off the land, but they're learning really very valuable life skills about how to grow organic food, how to build soil, what are the useful minerals and micronutrients that need to go into build soil building. They're getting an invaluable education, and I am too.
Yeah. We're heading up to the end of the hour. Before we go off, I wanted to make sure that that you can give some information. I guess the Shaka Movement, is it shakamovement.com?
Yeah, Shaka is spelled S-H-A-K-A. It's an acronym for Sustainable Hawaii for the Aina, which is the life of the land, and the Keiki, the children. So, sustainable agriculture for future generations, for the life of our island world. So shakamovement.org would put people in touch with us, and anybody wants to get in touch with me directly, I'm Mark at marksheehan.com.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for the work you're doing. Keep up the great work, and thanks for coming on the show.
Okay, well, thanks. I appreciate being here. Aloha.
All right. Aloha. Looks like we're at the end of the hour, folks. I know we talked a little bit earlier about this hemp-based community that's starting up. Some amazing things coming forward. We're going to bring some people on the air next week, it looks like, to talk about that. You know, they can make wood out of hemp 7 times stronger than regular wood. They can make hemp concrete. There's so many things they can do with hemp right now that are coming out. You can make shirts, paper, everything. We can leave the forest alone. And there's a lot of incredible properties, you know, in the hemp plant as well. It's a very ancient healing herb that's been used throughout time. And but again, we're not making any medical claims. We're just saying do your own research. If you want to go to ufojames.com, you can check into that. And there's a lot more information there. So looks like we hit the end of the hour, folks. So stay tuned. Get back on next week and we'll fill you in with the rest of the story. And watch the skies, keep your heart open, and try to eat organic. Have a good evening.